All right. Good morning. You may be seated. Welcome, everybody. This is an unusual face to see up here on a chapel day, isn't it? Hey, come on. Let's go. Hey, everybody, my name is Gabriel Hurtado. I am one of the area coordinators on campus, and I'm also staff support for our lovely commuters, if any of you are here, as well as international students. Good morning. I'm here to introduce our speaker today. He is a personal friend of mine. You may have seen him around campus this week. He's been chatting it up with some of our sports teams and students and just wanting to get to know people and hear their stories. He is really, some people have been asking, Gabe, how do you know this guy? And, I'm going to let you, I knew this guy back when he was developing his career, not when he was in the middle of his career. We are old friends going back to San Jose, California, when we were both serving in our youth groups in our hometown. And do I have any South Bay people out there? Any at all? Yes. Let's go. Okay. Anyhow, this man comes from Dallas, Texas. He is currently serving as the chaplain for FC Dallas. He's been there for 3 years? 3 years, and he is the former chaplain for the Oakland Raiders, whom he spent 12 seasons with, okay? He has a little bit of insight into the athlete experience. He spends his days talking with professional athletes. That's all he does. He rubs shoulders with them. He prays for them. He talks to them about life. He helps them navigate through faith, through family, and through sports, and really, answering those tough questions, why am I here? Who's my friend? How do I live a life worthy of God in this atmosphere, in this arena? And he's here to share how he guides them through that. Please put your hands together for Mr. Chris Avila.
Hey, good morning, Simpson. You guys doing good today? Oh, man, I am fired up, excited. I had some coffee at your coffee shop this morning, got some prayer time in. I truly want to say thank you for welcoming me on this campus. The staff is amazing. The students are amazing. Seriously, something special is happening here. I'm not saying that because I was invited to be here, but I truly sense that. I feel that in my spirit. So I'm really excited. And all the stuff Gabe mentioned, it's all sounds really cool. But, man, I just get to play my little part in what God is doing in the earth. Right, I get just as excited if I'm at my little daughter's 12-year-old class sharing about God. Like, it doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. What matters to God is obeying him. What matters to God is encountering him and doing what he's asking us to do. So this is just my cool. I wish I could teach some of you guys how to build houses, how to shoot a soccer ball. I can't do any of that stuff. This is the one thing that God gave me. And I give it back to him. And just as we just sang, man, God is so good. He's so good. You see me up here, and maybe you see me on TV on different things. But the reality is I want to share just really quick a little bit of how I got here. I want to rewind a little bit because it's easy to come up and go, oh, man, dude, who's this dude? And yeah, he's with celebrity. Yeah. But let me tell you something. I grew up in a broken home. My dad left my mom when I was 3 years old, decided to continue the crazy generational curses of my family of divorce and womanizing and sin and all this crazy stuff. And so at 3 years old, I lost my dad, didn't grow up with my dad. And then 7 years later, my mom passed away from cancer. And so my world crumbled. I didn't grow up in church. And so I had a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of hurt growing up and made a lot of bad choices. But God got a hold of my life. When I was 18 years old, June 22nd, 1997 is the day that my life changed forever because I had one encounter with God. And what's so powerful about what they're trying to encourage you to do, be here, is that one moment in God's presence can change your life. I want you to understand that. I don't care what you ate for breakfast. I don't care what you thought. Today, one moment can literally shift your generation. I want you to understand that God came and changed my life. I have three beautiful kids. I want to just show you a few pictures. So this is my beautiful wife. These are my three miracle kids. I wish I don't have time to go into it, but doctors told my wife we would never have kids. because she had this thing called PCOS, leading cause of infertility. So I love Christmas time. I love sending a Christmas card to that doctor saying, man, God bless you. Here's our amazing family. God is good, and he's real. So those are our three miracle kids. And man, my wife, she's my heartbeat. So I left them to be with you. So I'm not here just to hang out. I'm here on a mission. I'm here because God sent me, because God wants to use me to encourage you today. So that's my family. My ministry, we're called G3. You can go to the next slide. But really, it's Mark 16:15. This is the great suggestion. No, I'm just kidding. It's not the great suggestion. This is called the great commandment, right? The great commandment. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So sometimes we think of, man, I got to go to the Philippines, or I got to go to the Middle East, and it's great. We need to go there. But Jesus is actually talking about we need to go into every aspect of the world. We need to go into the entertainment world. We need to go into the education world. We need to go into the sports world. We need to go into the political world. We need to go into every world and infiltrate it with the love of Jesus Christ. And so for me, I get to go into the sports world and the pro world. This is the doors that God has opened. Man, it's a blessing to be able to serve these athletes. You can go to the next slide really quick. And this is all we do, man. I bring the gospel. We want to help guys grow, and then we want to help them go back into the community, go back into the world, and use their influence to impact. And we do chapels and missions trips and mentorship one-on-one. You can go to the next slide. There's just a couple of pictures. I do this with my family, we do this together. Like, I want my kids to be a part. So Bob Stoops is a legendary college coach. I serve him and his XFL team. We won the championship a couple years ago. You go to the next slide. Boxing. Today I fly to Vegas. I have a fighter tomorrow night. Biggest fight of his life is on pay-per-view. A guy named David Morrell, Cuban fighter. So get to serve the boxing world. You can go to the next slide. Here's FC Dallas, who I've just fallen in love with. I knew nothing about soccer 2 years ago. And I just fallen in love with these guys. And they're in Portugal right now training. So enables me to come and be here with you guys. So then, let's see what else we got going on. Next slide. This is me, right? How can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Then it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. And so you can go to the next slide. So that's what it's all about. I love Coach Dabo. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. But he got saved on his campus as a coach because somebody was sent to be a chaplain in his life. And so I just love that. And you could just leave. I think there's one more slide maybe. So here's like my handles and website. I wrote a book 3 years ago. I didn't bring any. I just felt weird. Like man, when I was in college, I'd rather go eat at Chipotle than buy a book and read a book. So, but man, I share this because it's called 2-Minute Warning, Time to Fight for What Matters Most. And so it's an urgent action call to take your faith serious. And so I believe there's five battles that we all face: battle purity, battle for your gifting, battle for your faith, battle for approval, and battle for forgiveness. And these are battles we will face daily, and we need to walk in Jesus to overcome and walk in victory. So, I would love to stay connected. Please, let's connect on social media. This is my passion. I wake up. This is what God gave me. So I'm passionate about that. All right, I want you to do something really quick. My message today is called Vision for Victory. God is calling us to live in victory every single day. We get to live in victory. Why? Because he has won everything already. We get to walk in victory because of what he did. And so I want to talk to you guys about vision, power vision. I want you to do something really quick. My background, I grew up in the Bay Area, Oakland, San Jose. So I want you to do something really quick with me. I want you to make a big O for Oakland. Just make a big O like this, all right? All right, big O, big O. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to put this right here on your chin, just like that, okay? Right here. Okay, this is not your chin. Did you just catch that? Some of you guys are like, what just happened right now? Okay, look, let me break it down scientifically, right? You heard something, but your vision overpowered your brain in what you just heard and actually decided, no, we're not going to do what you just heard. We're going to do what you just saw. That's the power of vision. Where you lock your eyes, where you put your attention, the Bible actually has stories that literally where they put their eyes and focus meant life or death. So let me tell you something. Let me give you a definition of vision. This is my definition. Everybody has sight. Not everybody has vision. I want you to catch that. Most people have sight. Not everybody has vision. I love the great Helen Keller. She was blind. This is what she said. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. Whew, that's so powerful. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people will perish. Where there is no vision, people will perish. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk by faith, not by sight. So what is sight? Sight is seeing the world, things, problems, situations through your eyes, through your natural eyes, right? We tend to look at things and we go, oh man, dude, look at this, and man, we just look at things through our eyes, right? My dad, I hated my dad. I'm looking through my eyes. He's a bum. He's this, he's that. My eyes, he hurt me. My eyes. Vision is seeing life situations in the world through God's eyes. I want you to catch that. Not your eyes, God's eyes, right? Seeing life situations in the world through God's eyes. So important. See, there's a theme throughout the whole Bible about vision and sight. There's so many stories in the Old Testament. I mean, there's tons. Numbers 13, where the spies go into the promised land, right? And only two came. They saw these giants and they got scared and they came back going, man, we can't take the land. Even though God told us, even though God's vision was for us to take the land, we saw our eyes and we're like, no, we can't do that. We come back, we're going to die. We're not going to make it. Well, only two of them said, no, we can take the land. Two of them had vision. The rest of them had sight, right? There's a story about a guy named Lot and his wife. And God tells them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is found in Genesis 19, verse 26. And God instructed them, don't look back. And what happened? The wife, for whatever reason, I don't know why. I tell my wife this all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But she turned back. And the Bible says she turned and she died, turned into a pillar of salt, just like that. Because she turned back. That's Genesis 19, 26. David and Goliath, one of my favorite stories found in 1 Samuel 17. Everybody was scared. There was this huge giant taunting the Israelites. And everybody was scared. Nobody wanted to step up and defeat this crazy giant. And here comes David, just a shepherd boy. He's not qualified to be in the army. He's not qualified to lead. He's not qualified to fight. But he sees through the eyes of God. He has vision. And he decides and says, I can take him out because God is with me. He had vision. And guess what? He defeats the giant and everybody gets to benefit because of his vision. Powerful. New Testament, there's a bunch of stories. I'll give you the greatest story. It's Jesus. Jesus having vision for you and I, leaving heaven, being worshiped and exalted to come into a broken world where his own creation would reject him, would beat him, would spit on him, would hang him on a cross. The ultimate vision is Jesus, is God for you and I, that he would die and save us and give us life, life more abundant. Let me tell you something. God's not asking you to die for him. He's asking you to live for him. I want you to catch that. He already did the dying. He already did that. Our job is to live for him, to encounter him, to understand the goodness of God. I tell young people all the time, living for God is not going to make you popular, but it will make you powerful. I want you to hear that. When you live for God, it's not going to make you popular. You're going to have a lot of pushback. You're going to have a lot of voices, a lot of opinions, a lot of things that will come into your life. But when you stand and you live for God and you go against the grain, you set apart, you set yourself apart, you do things for God, what happens is you have real impact in people's lives. So two questions I want you to wrestle with today. Number one is this. What are you seeing today? What are you seeing right now as a student, as an athlete? Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you're wondering. Maybe you're searching. What are you seeing in your life? See, you're seeing right now, this has to do with your direction and purpose in life. So what are you seeing right now? The second question I want you to wrestle with is a more powerful question in the terms of maturity. It's a second level. It's, I need to conquer this first level, and now I need to be a good steward of this deeper level. So the first one is, what am I seeing? The second thing is, what can be seen in my life? It's powerful. First one has to do with direction and purpose. The second one has to do with impact and influence. Being around pro athletes, there's always a guy, a girl, that you go into the weight room, right? And when they walk in that weight room, there's two things that are going to happen. You're going to go, oh, man, we're going to work hard. Oh, man, dang it. So-and-so just walked in. Man, we running extra. Man, we doing the extra reps. Man, we're going to go there because they're just a leader. They're just a beast. They're just on it. Then there's the other guy. Oh, man, they just came. Oh, we're going to have some fun. Man, we're going to goof around. We're going to get out of here early. Oh, this is going to be good. Man, it's going to be an easy day. Right? It's crazy in life. We have impact and we have influence in how we live our lives. Social media is crazy. I forget just how many people are watching and just connecting because, man, people are always watching. So my question is, what are people seeing in you? What is your life saying? What is your life doing? I was in LA one time with a friend of mine, and he goes, man, I want you to check out my new beach home that I just bought for $1.8 million. I said, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. He's like, man, you and your wife can come anytime. Man, it's only 900 square feet. Man, it's just a one-bedroom, man, little tiny thing. I'm like, 1.8 million, bro, you know what you could buy in Texas for 1.8, man? You'd be living like a king, you know? And he goes, no, just come. So I come, man, we pull up, and the outside is all needs painting and stuff. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, man, bro, you just got gypped, bro, like 1.8. Like, this is crazy. So I walk in the door, man, and it's just, you know, it's cool. Like, he did some stuff. And I go, bro. And he goes, let me show you the best part. And he walks over through the living room, and there's just this big, like, curtain. And he just pulls the curtain open. It's just the beautiful Huntington Beach in L.A. Right there. Literally, open the sliding door, sand. The value of this home and the value of property in real estate will be higher depending on what can be seen from it. Powerful. It's powerful. So in your life, what are you seeing today and what can be seen? So here's a set of scripture I want to share with you today. Matthew 14, this is a powerful. Matthew was one of the disciples. He writes his book, his perception of walking with Christ, his stories, his experience walking with Christ. So this is the experience of Matthew. He's with Jesus. And so here's what it says in chapter 14, verse 26 through 31. It says, when the disciples saw, here we go, sight, saw him walking on the water, talking about Jesus, they were terrified in fear. Stop really quick. They were terrified in fear seeing Jesus walking out on the water. The enemy's number one tool in spiritual warfare is fear. It is a spirit. Man, Chris, how do you know fear is a spirit? Because the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of sound mind and power. So fear is a spirit. The enemy uses fear in our lives. God uses his Holy Spirit. And they both want two things from you. They want your attention and they want your obedience. So every time you have to step out in faith, you have to step over fear. So the enemy will always use fear. No, you're not qualified. No, you're not supposed to be here. No, you can't do that. No, don't do it. You're going to fall. No, you're going to fail. No, they're not. They're going to look at you different. No, they're going to make fun of you. No, don't take that shot. No, don't be a leader. Don't. Fear. It's the biggest thing. You'll see it. You'll see it in our world, right? So they were terrified in fear. They cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here. Woo. Some of you need to hear that. The adventure of God is about taking courage and understanding God is here. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. The vision God had said, I'm not going to be this God that's far away from you, that doesn't want to talk to you, that doesn't want to love you. I will be with you. I will walk with you. No one is coming. No one's coming for you. I am here. I am the one that wants to walk with you and encounter you. Man, God is saying to you today, take courage. I am here. Right now, some of you need to hear that. You need to take courage here at Simpson and understand God is here. Then Peter called out to him. How many disciples on the boat? 12 disciples are in the boat. One of them has vision. His name is Peter. He says, he calls out, he says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out to you, walking on the water. So powerful. He's getting vision. God says, yes, come, speaks to him. So Peter goes over the side. There's 12 disciples. One of them has vision, says, God, can I come out there with you? I want to experience you. I want to experience the supernatural. Jesus says, yes, come. If I'm next to Peter, I'm like, yo, what about me? Let's roll, right? But only Peter steps out. Peter steps out, and the Bible says this. Peter goes over the side of the boat and walks on water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. I love this. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Some of you guys here today, this is where you're at. You're sinking. You're sinking. You're drowning in your life. You're going, man, this is not working out. This is not what I thought it was going to be. Man, I'm lost. I'm confused. Man, I'm hurt. And you need to learn how to shout out to God. You need to learn how to cry out to God. You need to come. And the Bible says, man, he immediately reached out and he grabbed him. It happened to me. See, God shifted my life. When I gave my life to the Lord, God began to give me vision for my life. How did you start in pro sports? I was at a mall. God gave me the power to forgive my dad. The first thing I felt God speaking to my life wasn't that I would travel the world and be with pro athletes. He said, go and forgive your dad. I'm like, oh, man, that's got to be the devil. Lord Jesus, man, he's friends with you, devil. Like, man, that's why you want me, you know. And it took me 6 months, and I went, and I forgave my dad. And even in that moment, that phone call, he said, I knew you'd call me. I knew you'd need me one day. And I had about 10,000 cuss words, all different combinations, ready to just let him loose on my dad and just hang up on him. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Chris, you can do it your way or you can do it my way, but your way is going to fail. I said, Dad, however way you want to look at it, man, I believe God is connecting us, bringing us back together. Amen. It took me years and years of calling him and loving on him. I end up leading him to the Lord. He's a great grandfather to my kids now. Yeah, somebody needs to give God. He's a miracle working God. He's a good God. And I tell you that because, man, God began to shift my vision. And because I had this new relationship with my dad, man, there was this freedom when I forgave. And so I was walking at a mall one day, and I saw the number one draft pick for the Oakland Raiders, and he was looking at suits, and I had read that he had become a Christian. So I ran up to him, and I said, yo, Napoleon Kaufman, 5'9", came out of University of Washington, fast as lightning. He was 185 pounds. He could bench press 400 pounds. I'm telling you, the dude looked like an action figure. Like, it just crazy. So I run up to him. I go, yo, Napoleon, I heard you gave your life to Jesus. Man, that's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Man, you got to put on the armor of God. Man, you got to surround yourself. Man, I'm just going off. And he's like, what the heck? Like, dude, who is this? Right? And he finally stops me. And he goes, what do you want? He goes, you want my autograph or a picture? Like, what do you want? And I'm like, man, I don't care about that stuff. And I started thinking, like, what do I want? You know? And I go, man, would you ever come and speak to my church? And he was like, man, nobody's ever asked me that before. Man, that would be phenomenal. And we exchanged numbers and we became friends and we'd hang out every single day in Fremont, California at a Chili's. He would drive after practice and I would drive from San Jose and we'd meet and we'd grow and we'd talk about the Bible. And 3 years into that, I'm a senior in Bible college. I know nothing about God. Nothing. I know John 3:16. That's about it. But I'm passionate. I knew God forgave me and gave me the power to forgive people. And he called me one day. He says, hey, I need you to come and meet Coach John Gruden. He says, I need to stop talking about God to everybody. I need to stop passing out Bibles like you told me to. So I'm like, oh, man. So I go get a suit from the Goodwill. I didn't have enough money. I went to the Goodwill, got me a little suit. Probably didn't even match. Showed up in the Oakland facilities. And I shake his hand. I've got all these theological questions down, what I'm going to tell him, what I believe in. And you know, just all these different theological things. And he shakes my hand. He sits down. He says, man, thank you for coming. I don't want to waste your time or my time. I got one question for you. How are we going to win football games? And I was like, whoa. And I said, Coach, I said, I believe God created every single person on the planet. And I believe that he created us spiritually and he created us physically. And right now you got 53 half-hearted guys because you're only pouring in on the outside. And I'm going to begin to pour on the inside. And I'm going to build them up from the inside. And we're going to get 100% out of these guys. And we're going to win football games. And he looked at me, and he just stared at me. It seemed like 2 minutes. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, he's going to kick me out of here, you know. And he just slammed the desk. He goes, I like you. You're in. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I had no idea what that meant. And, man, it started a journey of 12 years working with the Oakland Raiders. And God just began to open doors. I met a boxer. There was a lot of celebs that would come on the sideline. And I didn't really care. I'm like, yeah, Snoop Dogg, yeah, whatever. Like, I just wouldn't care. And then I saw this boxer, and I loved him because he would always put scripture on his shorts. And he was from Gilroy, California. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's the ghost, man. I went up to him. And it just started sharing. And he goes, what do you do? Are you a coach? I said, kind of, man. I'm the team pastor, you know, and I pray with these guys and stuff. And he goes, hey, would you ever pray with me before a fight? I was like, man, absolutely. You just tell me where to go. I'll be there. So start working with him. And then, man, doors just begin to open and all this stuff. And so that's how I got into the sports world. It wasn't because, man, I'm this incredible guy. Trust me, I drove this 1990. Some of you guys don't even realize. I'm just sharing how old I am right now. But I drove a 1990 Honda Civic. I had literally one tinted window on the back side of the door because I had an accident and they gave me this random door. And it just crazy. And so here I am pulling up to the facilities and everybody's pulling up in Hummers and Porsches and Bentleys and all the fans. At that time, they were really good. We went to the Super Bowl. All these different things. We got Jerry Rice, Tim Brown. It was crazy. So all these fans are outside in every car, and they're like, oh, Charles Woodson, oh, Jay, you know. And then here I come. Here I come. This thing. Oh, I think it's the gardener. It's the gardener. Yeah, it's the gardener. Go. I'm just like. And no joke, I would go and park my car in the very back because I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. And no joke, you ask God when you get to heaven, ask him to show you the video. I'd park all the way in the back. And I would sit there and go, God, what am I doing here? I don't want them seeing me drive, you know. And I would just, God, what am I doing here? And I would feel God go, because you have something they need. And you're willing to look like a fool. You're willing to do what I'm asking you to do. And I want to challenge you guys today. You see, sight is very natural. It's good, it's bad, it's okay, it's typically about you. I tell athletes all the time, you're either building a pedestal or you're building a platform. And a pedestal only has room for one person. And it's only about one person. But a platform has room for everybody. It has room to pull people up, has room to give people honor and glory. And that's what begins to happen is the kingdom of God. People begin to pick you up and people begin to pull you and put you in spaces that you never thought you'd be in. But vision is supernatural. It's so much bigger. It's about God. It's going to impact people's lives. There's purpose behind it. It's a platform. So I'm going to give you three takeaways and we're done. Three tech takeaways. This is application in your life. So how do I take this? How do I apply? What does this mean for me today? When you read the Bible, you have to understand what's going on, who's talking, who are they talking to, and then you got to ask, what does this mean for me today, right? So let me give you three things. Number one is I don't want you to look to the side, right? Your sight, if you put it off to the side, you need to learn how to keep it off of other people. I want you to hear this. This is your journey. It's not like anybody else's journey. My journey is not like yours. Your journey is not going to be like mine. And my journey's been crazy. Man, I've dealt with some stuff. Like when you become a Christian, everything doesn't just become good. But God gives you the power, right? There's going to be mountains that either you're going to climb and God will give you the strength to climb it, or God will give you the power to remove it. But you will go through tough times. Jesus said that we will have trouble on this planet. So my wife battled cancer 2 years ago. My son's been in the hospital, almost died when he was born. He got E. coli and all this stuff. So immediately we were at a children's hospital for 2 months. I'm telling you, it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. All the great things in life are not easy, but they're worth it. And so don't look to the side. Be very careful with social media. Because it's easy to throw on everybody's highlights and we compare ourselves and we're seeing what's happening to a generation that's just on social media all the time. So don't look to the side. Don't look to the left or the right. Stay in your lane. I'm going to share this principle really quick. It's in my book. But I believe everybody has two purposes. I felt the Lord tell me to share this really quick. We have what I call a universal purpose, which means this is what everybody's called to do. Jesus said it this way, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all your strength, right? So I want you to think of a track lane. There's two lines. So one side is your universal purpose. It's what everybody, this is us. We got to know God. We got to love God. We got to pursue Jesus with all of our heart. We got to live for him. That's one side. Then God has a unique purpose for your life. A universal and a unique. Your unique purpose is Noah called to build the ark. It's David called to kill the giant. It's Nehemiah called to tear down the walls. It's that unique thing that God is calling you to do. That man, when you say yes to God, when God begins to show you what he is doing and says he invites you to be a part. See, this is not about you. The Bible's not even about these guys. It's about God moving throughout the earth, inviting people to be a part. Going, hey, I want to do something already. Man, would you join me? Man, I'm doing something at Simpson University. Would you join me? Would you be a part of what I'm doing? Hey, I'm doing something in the Middle East. Would you join me and say yes? Hey, I'm doing this in the basketball world, in the track world. Would you join me and say yes? Don't look to the side. Second thing, don't look to the back. Your mistakes are not fatal. Learn and move forward. When you drive a car, you've got a bigger windshield than it is the rearview mirror, right? We need to stay and look forward. So here's two things. So two things not to do. Don't look to the side. Don't look back. Here are two things that God in the Bible instructs us to do. We're called to look forward. We're called to keep our eyes on Jesus, right? We're called to look and stay focused, right? How do we do that? We do that by God's GPS system. Did you know God has a GPS? It's called God's positioning system. It's called his word. It's called his Bible. And as it says in Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6, it says that trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Right? There's another proverb. It says this. It says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? A lamp, if you've never been camping, a lamp will only show you your next step. I like flashlight. I like flashlight. I wanted to say, man, your word is a flashlight into my life, right? Because I want to see all the way down there. But the problem is, if I see all the way out there, I'm like, hey, God, I ain't doing that. No way. God, I ain't getting on some little tiny plane. I ain't sleeping on Gabe's couch to come to Simpson. Like, God, man, I ain't. Right? We like flashlight. Sometimes what we do, if we got flashlight, we're like, all right, God, I'll see you over there. But it's about the journey. It's about every day walking with God, getting to know God. Okay, so God's word is what literally guides us. Okay, so don't look forward. And the last thing, the Bible actually says to look within. Every day we look within. The Bible says to examine your hearts daily. Ooh, that's a big athletic principle. If you want to understand something, you want accountable, you got to be accountable to yourself. You got to look within. Hey, am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Before I look to anybody else, what am I doing? Did I lift what I was supposed to do? Did I do the film work? Did I eat right? Did I sleep right? Did I get enough sleep? Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I get to class? Right? So look forward to God. Look within to yourself. This is so powerful, and I'm done. You can get like the worship team or come up here if you like. This is so powerful because Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Then he says this, and I know them, and they follow me. See, when you read the Bible, it's very hard because it was written thousands of years ago. So he uses farming. He uses shepherding. He uses fishing because everybody did that. So for us, we don't understand. We're like, sheep. Okay, man, that's great, man. I don't know what a sheep is, man. Is that a new iPad? Is that, you know, I don't know, right? But everybody knew sheep. Everybody understood sheep and shepherds. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. If you understand, I started studying sheep. I went to Israel, learned from a rabbi. And he said, man, did you know that sheep have horrible hearing? I said, no way. I mean, sorry, they have horrible sight, but they have excellent hearing. So shepherds had certain calls, just like you do dogs, right? You know, you got a certain whistle, and they just know, oh, man, that's my dad, that's my mom, right? They just come. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. So I want you to hear this. So literally, God's word becomes my vision. God's word in my life begins to shape me into vision and where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to date, the call of God in my life, all these different things, the word of God. God's word literally provides vision. As I was praying for you this week, and even weeks I've been praying for you, I just want to pray as we close. Praying for vision in your life. Maybe you're here and you don't see God well. Maybe you're here, you don't see yourself well. I want to pray for you today, and we're done. And I'm going to hang out today. I'll be around afterwards. You want to chat, but I want to honor the time. I'll be around lunch and stuff like that. But I want you to do something brave and bold today. If you're saying, man, Chris, I need fresh vision. I need vision, whether it's with God or with myself. Would you just stand? I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm not going to make you do anything else. But you say, this is a moment. I feel God speaking into my heart and my spirit. I need vision. Whether it's for God or whether it's for myself. Sometimes it's just, you just got to step out in faith. That's all. Mark this moment. This was for you. I flew all the way out here for you because God loves you so much. He sent this jacked up, messed up, crazy Latin dude living in Texas for you. For you. Good. Let me pray. And we're done. You can still stand. Just stay standing. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for every student. Every person right now, I pray for a vision this semester that God, they encounter who you are and whose they are. That God, they realize that God, you are real in their life, that God, you have a plan for their life and that there's nothing too big for you to handle. God, I pray vision. Help them to open up their Bibles. Help them to connect with other believers. Help them to pursue you, God, in that one day they'll look back and never forget this semester, God, that you reached down and touched them. You reached down and gave them vision and stirred their heart and led them. So God, bless them this year. Protect them, guard them. Let them encounter you and never be the same. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Can you guys give the Lord a big clap? Thank you guys so much.